Hey, folks, how we doing tonight? Welcome to Right Sex, the panel based on the website dedicated to teaching the business of erotica. First question, who's drinking?
All right.
So,
Not nearly enough.
The way this panel kind of works, this is kind of my fuck-off panel, whereby we fuck off, but give you guys a shit ton of valuable education and information dedicated to those who want to make a living out of writing erotica. So what I'm going to do first is talk about the panel for a minute, introduce myself, they'll do their thing, and then we'll start with questions to the panelists, open up to Q&A if we have time, and go from there. How's that sound? How's that sound?
Great!
How does that sound?
Great!
A little more.
Louder!
Louder!
No, louder.
What, them or me?
You.
Fuck off.
Now, if you can't hear him, you should just move up. There are plenty of seats closer.
Come forward. We don't bite unless you ask.
My husband. You know nobody listens to him.
What? This is normally how it is in here. Just usually there's about five of us up here and we're all pretty drunk. Unfortunately, some of us are ill and have other things to do tonight, so you're going to get the sober version this evening.
We're sorry about that. Really are.
We'll fake it.
I won't, but whatever. All right. Starting from the beginning. Back in 2009, my publicist had decided the best way for me to get an author platform based on my 14 years of experience in erotica and erotic romance was to build this site called Right Sex, dedicated to just what you guys are here for tonight. Establishing me and a number of other authors, including M. Christian, Thomas Roach, both of whom write erotica, have been around for 20-plus years, publisher Jean Marie Stein, who owns Sizzler Editions, which is the oldest publishing company in e-books today, and a few other folks to jump on the bandwagon and educate you guys on the business of writing and selling erotica and making money from it. Since then, the site has spawned a couple of classes, which have been taught to savvy authors, Romance Writers of America, and on my private loop. In the interim, because we always need new talent and qualified talent, I asked Karen Kelly, Stella Price to come along and blog for us as well. Every week the website is updated with a new tip or trick or something about the business in general of writing. We cover plot, how-to as far as craft is concerned. We cover cover art concepts and why you should shut the fuck up with your artist, do her job. We cover the market in general, the whole gamut. Cassidy Kingston is on tonight, as she'll tell you, as a new blood person, because out of all of us, she, to my knowledge, has the least experience, but still provides a fresh perspective, which we all need because every once in a while, we all forget what it was like to be new. For you guys, my name is Sasha Ilyevich. I'm the bad boy of romance. I've been in this industry 14 years. I've written everything from erotica to erotic romance. If it involves sci-fi or fantasy, I've done it. BDSM is a thing for me as well. I'm represented by M. Corvisiero Agency and publicity by, who the hell are they now? Paradigm Warriors. I edit for...
Can't change those names.
I know, because I keep forgetting. I also edit for Sizzler Editions under the Intoxication line, which is our erotic romance line that was started back in 2010, I want to say, to expand erotica publishing with that company to erotic romance because, let's face it, it's the largest market growing steadily ever since the inception of ebooks and beyond. My panelists include Karen Kelly. Rock your shit. Tell us who you are.
What the fuck you did? You just did. I'm Karen.
Big yourself up, baby.
I'm Kieran Kelly. I write gay erotic romance. I've been published by at least a dozen different houses. I've got 13 novels out and probably closing in on 80 shorter works. That's me.
Yes. Stella, who are you? What do you do?
Hi, guys. I'm Stella Price. I write under several different names. I'm a cover artist, convention director, author. I have over 30 novels out, either written with my sister, my best friend, or by myself. I write paranormal, urban fantasy, steampunk, and really, really dirty, 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 dirty stuff.
Why
hooray!
She's here.
Hooray! I am not, and I repeat, not represented by anybody anymore, thank God. I believe heavily in self-publishing. And so I will be talking about that a lot with you guys tonight.
Sold me out.
That's right.
It's all right. Cassidy, who the hell are you? What do you do?
I'm Cassidy Kingston. I'm published with Whiskey Creek Press Torrid Line. I've only got a little experience as compared to them. I have 5 novels out with them, and I write paranormal erotic.
Excellent, excellent.
I might have paid them.
You have minions in the audience.
They are my minions.
Mine are drunk at the bar.
Damn it, isn't it fair? I'm the driver, so if they would like to get back to Alabama.
Yeah.
No, they're drunk at the bar looking for men. They're all out there, like, just trolling tonight.
I did promise them all men
and
after.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to. Trust me. I love
really?
Them, but you really don't want
really?
To.
All right, so precursor to this, I'm suffering from top buzz right now. For those who know what that means, you'll know what it means. Now to the relevant shit we're here for. I want to know from all of my panelists, any order you guys care to answer him.
Not it.
Not it.
I'll go first. I always do. I'm the only one that has anything to say.
Meaning of life. No, I'm kidding. So we have some fun here, y'all. It's 2013. The industry is clearly changing. If you're following Amazon, if you're following New York, if you're following what we call Indie Pub or even Self Pub, you notice there's an awful lot of stuff changing right now. It's making it very difficult for authors to get ahead. My question to the panelists, and I'll chime in after Cassidy is finished, is... can you still make a living in erotica?
Yes.
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 But would you like me to go at length on this?
Fuck y'all.
Exactly.
I know, right? All right, so.
All right, so the short answer is yes. The long answer is, depending on what route you take, whether it's traditional published, whether it's small press published, whether it's indie published, you have to know 2 things. Number 1, your audience. And number 2, the genre. Certain genres do not sell right now. As much as we'd like them to, they don't. I know that I'm a victim of that. I know Sasha's been a victim of it. I know Kieran's been a victim of it. I can't say for you because you're actually writing paranormal, so you're doing pretty okay.
smart kid here.
But, like, paranormal is not doing well in the New York market. I run a convention called Authors After Dark. It's a reader-author convention where it's very focused on author and reader interaction. And this year's event... there was 100 authors there that do, you know, everything where they do the panels and the signings and everything. Well, out of those 100 authors, there was 14 that were New York published authors that were signed on between 2009 and 2011. And none of them have a contract anymore. And the reason? Because nobody is buying paranormal anymore in New York. Nobody.
Because they're stupid.
No, they are. They're being very dumb because it's the new contemporary revolution, and New York is still buying that. But New York is not playing the 14 months ahead game, which they should be, because most books in New York take 14 months to come out once they are contracted. And in 14 months, this new contemporary is not going to be anything, and they're going to go back to what their tried and trues are, which are 2 things. Historicals and paranormals. So they've lost all these contracts, and these authors are scrambling trying to figure out what the hell they did wrong. And really, it has nothing to do with anything except the fact that New York is seeing a rise in the contemporary bullshit, is what it is. And by bullshit, I mean stuff that's poorly written and thrown out very quickly, and being thrown off as actual literature.
real quick, you know where I'm going with this, Stella? Can
I'm being nice.
I know. Can we do a little shit talk for the one?
Let's do. You really want me to? I will. But everyone's gonna come out of here with their ears burning.
That's not my problem. My problem is, can they sell after they do this panel?
In other words, can we gossip?
Can we shit talk Yale James?
Can we gossip?
Can we shit talk Yale James?
All right. That woman is everything that is wrong with the industry right now.
Hallelujah.
First person who answers gets a gift card. Who are we talking about?
There you go.
There you go.
Winner, chicken dinner.
I'm
Stella, of course.
That woman is what is wrong with this industry right now. Because that woman, and, you know, I think it's great that she did what she did. However, she has ruined it for all legitimate authors. That woman is not an author. She is a hack. And she will be an author when she writes something that isn't attached to somebody else's thing or fan fiction.
Right.
There are tons of us. Yeah, go for it.
I don't have anything personally against fan fiction. My roots are in fan fiction. That's where I started writing. Okay, I used to write.
We all did, actually, I think.
Fan fiction, okay? Fandom. And a lot of us do, especially in my genre.
We did.
And
Castle romance, fans.
A lot of us came out of fan fiction. We have nothing against it. The problem I have with it is that she took her fan fiction, she rewrote it so that it seemed original, but you really...
Oh, no, she didn't rewrite it. She just changed the names.
You still kind of know that it's Twilight. But what she did was she wrote it so badly.
Because she doesn't understand how to write fiction.
Paragraphs.
She didn't research the subject matter at all. So what she did was a disservice to the community.
Yes, it's a very large disservice to the community.
And she published this thing, and now everybody across the world that doesn't know anything about the BDSM community now has this false information that they could take and go out and get hurt with.
Yes.
That's why we don't like it.
I had a bottom tonight, and this is because of this particular topic, that was new to the lifestyle. They've been around for a while. They trusted me. Joke's on them. To flog them properly. After that was done, she had a lot of questions. I did my best to answer those questions and make sure that at the end of her night, this world that she just stepped into made sense. E.L. James did not do that.
Because E.L. James is not part of the community.
Right.
E.L. James is
not a good writer.
No.
She hates us.
She's not a writer, guys.
No. Writers do research.
Writers grow in their craft.
Writers typically don't refer to their subject as those freaks.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it depends on your author platform, but yeah, still.
It depends on how you use the word freak.
Did you guys hear what she did? She was at the Romantic Times convention this year.
She showed up
and was sitting in the audience while there was a bunch of stuff going on, and she was there to quote-unquote support another author. And her book came up, and everyone just started ripping on it. She stands up. She goes, "I'm E.L. James." And everyone on the panel goes, "So?" She goes red and leaves. And then when they find out that she was there supporting another author that was on the panel, well, said author is now being ostracized because of the situation. But she showed up at RT. She didn't sign books. She didn't do panels. She didn't do anything. Why? Because she knows she can't hang with the big dogs that know what they're doing.
Now, this does bring up an interesting point.
But no. It comes down to this.
I know.
Money is money, but money does not make you legit.
All right, so here's a question for you guys. So I talked to... So how many of you folks know Morgan Hawk?
I do.
I know.
It's not really on. I'm trying to project whatever. So Morgan Hawk is the author that mentored me and trained me. Y'all know her, right?
We know Morgan, yes.
Woman hadn't written a novel and published one in 5 years. She's still living off her royalties. The question she asked me a while back was, do you want the fame or do you want the money? Well, the money pays my bills. My question to you guys, how do you get both? Is it possible in erotica? Karen, go.
I found that it is. For me, I found the answer is in being prolific. I write a lot, which is why I have almost 80 shorter works out. I do a lot of short stories. Short stories are a lost art form. If you can master doing them, you can sell them, and you can sell them quickly. And you can continue. You can either sell them and make royalties on them, or you could sell them and get one-shot payment for them. Either way, it's still going to pad your bank account.
Too, yeah, that yeah.
Right.
You can keep selling them on one
and side. It keeps. And the other thing it does is serves because it's such a quick turnaround with shorter works. It keeps your name in front of your readers in between the longer works. So instead of putting out a novel and then not having another one come out for a couple of years, you have all these short works in between that are keeping your name in front of your readers. That's what works for me.
It's a good one.
I'm on the cusp because I don't write by myself mostly. I'm known for being an asshole. Most
Same
of the time.
Here.
Hey, no, I admit it. I am known for being. I was told at my convention recently that I was known for being volatile by a young adult author. And I'm like, really? Really? The more. Kieran is right in the whole prolific. But the other side of that is this. You write. And you write. You have to write well. Because the people that are writing and throwing shit out that's prolific, that they don't know what they're doing, then you get tired of it because you just start seeing these 2-star reviews on Amazon and nobody buys your books anymore. The other side of that is you have to market yourself correctly. You market yourself correctly, and it doesn't really matter what you're writing. Your readers keep coming back for whatever it is because they like the kind of things you're doing for the books that you write. I'm more on that end of it. I'm a gimmicky kind of writer. I really, really enjoy doing certain things for certain books. This one here has to do with a sorority, so I have a ton of sorority stuff. This one here is rock and roll, and I used to be a tour manager, so I have an entire setup of t-shirts and pins and stickers and stuff that a real band would actually use. I mean, I had it all done out. This one is Supernatural Gamblers, so there's stuff online about, like on my website, things, little gambling games you can play. This one is just extremely nasty and dirty, and it is dragons. And
Bye.
When you order this offline from my website, we send you some very disturbing dragon pictures that Charlotte buys, but everything I don't actually do it, and they come from the UK, so all of a sudden know where you'll get like a package and the book will be in there, and then you'll have these weird pictures in there and you'll wonder why, but she puts everything in the book. The readers love that. And they keep coming back. We keep getting emails. When is this book coming out? When is this book coming out? The next one for this series comes out in December. And we have a Kickstarter up for it. And that Kickstarter, it starts in 2 days, actually. But it's all merchandise and band stuff. And it's really actually really cool. Readers like that better than just reading something and telling the author they like it. That's what I've learned.
I guess my short answer would be I hope that you can make a lot of money with it because I am just starting out. But I would have to agree with Kieran in that the short stories, because I didn't want to put one out and people be like, you know, they get my name and then 6-7 months later they have to wait. So my first series was actually 5 short stories that came out like 3 months apart. So and I agree with her marketing. You know, I've started, you know, getting my name out on Twitter. I have the bookmarks, so if you've seen me here, I've probably given you a bookmark. So I'm really hoping to learn from them, but so far I've learned a lot from Kieran and Dylan.
I am a firm believer in swag.
What do we? Yeah. What do we what
I
do we
totally am.
Who are you last night?
Oh.
Oh God.
Yeah. What the fuck was that?
What did you just call me?
I sell motherfucker. No, that wasn't it.
No, it was. Delivers and sells.
This motherfucker sells and delivers.
Yeah. I said
that's what it was.
It's my Native American name.
Yeah. It's going to go on our business cards.
It is.
It should.
Yeah.
There you go.
But I firmly believe in buying anything that I could stick my freaking name on and then giving it away. And like I've got these flower pens and I've got these paddles, and which you could all come up and get. I mean, I did fans for Authors After Dark. I did the fans. Anything I could put my name on, I will stick my name on that shit and give it away. And that's all part of marketing.
Let's talk about that for a minute. So my question for you guys, one of the big buzzwords in writing these days, last 2-3 years, author platforms.
Yeah.
What are those?
And how really high heels.
And what? Yeah, I got it. Gay fish. And how do you define your author platform versus your book platform?
I think book platform obviously is meant for specific books.
Authors overall?
What?
Author is your overall platform.
And authors are your overall platform.
For us, my sister and I, our website is tagged as risk-taking romance. The reason, we write shit nobody else does. We write were snakes. We write...
Almost every book.
No, because we were the first ones.
We were
the first.
2005.
Yeah, 2005, mm-hmm. We were the first ones to write were snakes. We write hellhounds. We write gin, but not genies from the lamp. We write satyrs. There's a ton of other things that are coming out soon that people will be able to see. But
what's the one here?
Those are gods that people write. Gods.
Oh, yeah.
But when I do write gods, we tend to write things that no one else is writing. The gods that are in here, they're all underworld gods from pantheons nobody would ever use.
God, they're hot. Oh, God, they're awesome.
I mean, one thing about that, if you're going to do something like that, you have to give them a jump off point. This book is Osiris. And then the rest of the characters and the rest of the guys in the books. Now, we've got one from the Etruscan pantheon, Sumerian, we've got Gaelic, we've got Gaulic.
Where's my favorite character going?
Not telling you nothing. when we go through it all, we try to make it a little different to really push the fact that our platform is uniqueness. Now, I, as myself, when I write, my first book alone comes out in October, and it is Octopus Shifters. I know, people are like, oh, wait.
Tentacle porn.
It's not tentacle porn. Actually isn't. It actually isn't. It is it's post-apocalyptic paranormal romance. It has to do with gods coming back to the earth after our Third World War, which happens to be a holy war. Five gods have taken over, and people turn into different things now.
So would you say that particular theme you're going off of is relatable to the common masses?
Yes, I would, because when it comes down to it, we might use odd stuff, but it regardless of how you feel about it, it is all relatable. So
I think mine would be, it's paranormal, but it has a twist. Like, I have a vampire, but she's pissed about being a vampire. You know, it's not what the books and it's not what the movies show. So it's not just your normal vampire. But as he asked originally, what's the difference between your book platform and the author platform? I write paranormal, but I will sit down and talk to anybody about anything. I'm pretty sure I've scared a lot of people this weekend. No, I will sit down.
Not here.
Oh, no, I really have. I probably should have read the shirt. It said Fandom for God.
I would.
Oh, crap.
Yes. I know who you fucked with. Yes.
I'm just saying. But, I mean, I'll sit down next to them. I'll introduce myself, and I'll say, what's your kink? And they'll tell me. It's actually pretty interesting.
You're a Dragon Con girl.
I know, but I have scared people. I scared a unicorn in an elevator. I'm like, you're a fucking unicorn.
Was it a male or female unicorn, though?
I don't know. It's
real
got
quick.
A unicorn head.
So, can we all give Cassidy a hell yeah for that?
Yeah.
You get your hell yeah.
I think fun of my accent again.
Like Sasha, I write a lot of weird stuff. I've written normal stuff. I've done cowboys and I've done all that crap, but I've also done, you know, like a T-Rex shifter, and I've done some really strange things. I think
she
that all
has.
Has what?
Write your shit.
Yay. But I do think that it comes down to finding your niche. I think that's also key. Finding what you write best. Not everybody is going to do well writing, you know, cowboys, even though it sells. You need to write. Number one, you need to write. Now, I said this last night. I don't care what your English professors have told you.
They're all bullshit.
You do not need to write what you know. You do need to write what you like.
That's right.
Because you need to research what you write. You need to know about what you write. And you need to like it, or else your readers are going to know. Like E.L. James, another example. They're going to know if you don't like what you write.
It's one thing to write for money.
Which I do.
And enjoy yourself writing it. It's something to write for money and just write for money.
So how do you balance that when it comes to writing what you know and writing what you know that'll sell and loving it? Because I've found that I have been able to write what I know will sell. I got bills to pay, right? But I'll still be able to write what will sell. But I've learned that skill over time. How do you guys deal with that?
I write what I like.
Yeah.
All you focus on?
It's all I focus on.
The readers come. The readers will be there.
Yeah.
The readers are there for you.
Yeah, the market's there.
It's just a question of writing what you like and being able to let the people know that it's out there.
How do you do that?
Writing's not an easy process. If you're not writing what you like, there's no reason for you to do it.
It'll take forever. I mean, yeah. I can't write if I'm not into it. You would read it and be like, what is this shit? I mean, because it's, if I'm not liking it, I'm not enjoying it, it's not going to work. It's not going to work for me.
Well,
it's not going to work
for
me.
Especially when you're writing erotica. Well, oh, yes. My God.
But and here's the other thing. Writing is 10% writing and 90% selling yourself. All the editing and everything in that is in that 10%.
Right.
Because when it comes down to it, you could write the best, most amazing thing in the world. If nobody knows you're out there, they're not going to read it. And a lot of writers do not want to sell themselves. They do not want to engage readers. They just want to write and keep writing and let it all go. And this is not 1974 anymore. This is not Kathleen Woodywiss and a publisher that has a $70,000 per book marketing plan. This doesn't happen anymore. Everything is grassroots. You need to do it yourself. You're going to write? That's great. You need to get out there. You need to sell yourself with that writing or else you're never going to make anything.
That's absolutely true. And I think that's true whether you're talking about ebooks or you're talking about print book. Even if you're talking about New York publishing, it's the same thing.
Well, New York publishing, they don't have anything anymore.
I know. When they do, it's like, I think 90% of the budget goes to their top 10 authors.
Yes, they do.
And then 10% of their budget goes to the other 90%.
And I can back
that
up.
Even if you signed with New York, you're still going to be responsible for pushing yourself.
Yeah, and the funny thing is you can get a contract with New York and you can have your agent push for a marketing plan. And a marketing budget. You will have to go through about 50 hoops in order to get them to agree to $1,000. And normally that $1,000 goes towards bookmarks.
I would say stand your ground on your marketing. One of the biggest things I had a problem with was when my mentor told me New York bought her shit, the biggest thing she said to me was, they bought me, but they wanted me to crank out under pressure. Now, I can crank out under pressure because she trained me. That's just how I think. Unfortunately for her, New York broke Morgan Hawk.
It happens.
It does.
It happens.
That being said, I'm going to go fix that here shortly, hopefully. But you as authors, how many authors, published or otherwise or aspiring, do we have in the audience? Show of hands. How many of you want this to replace your bullshit, boring job? Thank you. My question to you guys, and of course you don't want me to answer, no time. Are you willing to put the work forth, number one? And number two, are you willing to say, no, this is what works. Don't tell me what you're going to do because it doesn't work.
You know, that's a really good...
Stand up for yourselves.
Yes. There was an author recently who she did very, very well in her indie stuff. She's a new adult author, and I'm not going to say who she is because she's a friend, and I feel bad for her for this situation. But she sold, she got to New York Times bestseller list on her own. She sold a series to one of the big New York publishers. She got a lot of money out of it. She didn't keep her ebook rights.
What?
And now, well, she's an idiot for the fact. No, these new authors that are coming up. This is one thing I'm going to tell you guys all. Know the community. Find friends.
Your fucking contract.
Yes, find friends, because most of these women that are getting on these New York Times bestseller lists right now, they have never even been to a writer's conference.
Mm-hmm. Negotiate.
Yes, learn how to deal with contracts, because she sold her ebook rights, and her ebook went from $2.99 to $11.99. And so now her other series, which she started writing frantically to make sure that money kept coming in, she has, you know, her ebooks out, and she's putting a novella out every 3 weeks so she can keep the money coming in.
Fuck. I mean, I was trying to do 60K in 3 days, but that's yeah.
Yeah, she's nuts.
Does she sleep?
I don't know.
Probably not.
But she wasn't very smart in what she did. And when it comes down to that kind of stuff, you really need to worry about saying to yourself, okay, is what I want to do going to be worth it to me in the long run if I give up what makes my career? Because this girl gave it all up, and now she's frantically writing to keep her money coming in, because New York only gave her her wonderful Oh My God advance, and they're expecting more books out of her for this series that they have, and they have her on deadlines, and she's never done deadlines. So she's trying to write a 70,000 word book and keep writing novellas to bring her money in, because that 70,000 word book that she writes isn't going to be out for another 14 months. And she's already made her money on that. So you think to yourself, is this something I really want to do? I suggest never giving up your ebook rights.
I dropped the book to Red Sage recently. Sold the book to Red Sage in March of this year. It will not be published until 2014, probably about this time. So next year when you guys come to Write Sex,
there's a few publishers out there right now that aren't publishing until 2016.
And that's fine.
To get a contract.
And that's fine.
No, these are small press publishers.
This gives me a shit ton of time to market. I want to do one more question to the panelists, and then Q&A for you guys. How about that? Does that work out for you guys? All right. We've already established, yes, you can sell. Obviously, we do contracts. Obviously, pay attention to your market. How the hell do you market to your audience that makes you stand out? Because Stella writes paranormal. I do too. How do you distinguish between her and I and Kiernan, who also writes paranormal, versus male, or Cassidy here, same thing? How do you pick?
You need minions.
Yes.
They're called street teams.
Yes, they're called street teams. Yeah. And you need your betas that are going to go out there and going to talk for you. You need your street team that's going to go out there and work for you. And you got to be generous with them. Mm-hmm. Oh, sweet.
And I want it made clear that we're not competing against each other.
No, but see, here's the deal. And the reason why we don't compete is because we all write something different.
Mm-hmm.
I do not write in any way, shape, or form vampires.
You only have one.
But I do.
But the kind of vampire you write is completely different than the style
that
she
writes. Right, voice is different.
My voice versus her voice. You like it, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I have certain friends that I love to death, and we always release at the same time because her publisher ends up releasing the same time mine's do. And it's hard because you're not in competition against certain people, but you kind of are with your readers, especially if you share them. So you got to give them a reason to buy you over somebody else.
At least initially, because at the outset, it's not that I want to outsell anybody because fuck those guys. It's because I want that status and fame. In my case, I want the everything. I want to be Richard Castle, quite frankly.
Yeah.
That's me.
I can do without that.
What?
Get the black vest.
I want that, but I don't have a concept in SF yet. PD, yeah. I'll work on it. But I'm not in competition with these guys because they're not my enemies. Because the fact of the matter is, to me, there's a market for Karen, market for Stella, market for her, and a market for me. If we overlap, hey, cool. Y'all are still here, right?
One of the ways I find to stick in my readers' minds is to make personal appearances. I try and be very accessible. Yes. I do a lot of conventions.
Yeah, that's why I actually
enjoy them, because I enjoy talking to people and I enjoy doing panels. But I try and do a lot of conventions. What I'm doing now is, in the past, I was trying to concentrate on conventions that really had to do with my genre, which is MM erotic romance. I'm trying to branch out now. Like, for example, I did Authors After Dark this summer, which is primarily a straight romance convention.
Oh, we do have the GLBT contingent.
We absolutely do.
And it's
yeah.
lovely, because the readers that do come in for it, they are
very
so
open.
They're so open and they're so mm-hmm. focused on what they want that it's
right. But
it's
what my point is that it's yeah. not just yeah, the no, gay no, no, romance. No, no, no. And I'm trying to break into that market by getting to know those people and having them start to know
cross
me.
Genres.
Right, and cross the genres. Cross the lines.
Cross platform marketing.
Well, and that's the other thing. A lot of people don't realize. Just because they read me doesn't mean they're not going to read her, because mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, if they're reading me, they're still into male romance. So they'll just, you know, and all of a sudden, boom,
right.
And then they're right there. And she's got a new reader that didn't even know she was around. Because she showed up at a convention and gave them some promo.
Right. And one of the other
things... I've been doing this all night for a reason, but there's a reason for it, because it's marketing for her. Markets me too, because I write.
He was my editor for that one. Right.
Thank you. All I wanted.
Which brings me to another point. One of the other things I do is anthologies. I do a lot of anthologies, and the reason I do that is because, like, for example, this is one of them. This is Butt Pirates in Space.
Dun dun dun.
it's a humorous collection. There's a lot of humor in the, obviously.
I have to stop real quick. Because she did an anthology for me at Scissor Editions called Riding the Rocket. It was strictly gay male romance, and her story was just fucking awesome.
Thank you.
Well, you guys know that.
Because what happens with doing anthologies with other authors is that their readers will read your story, because it's in the book with their favorite author's story. So you can gain readers that way. Readers who haven't read you before may read you because you're in that book. And the other thing I do is not put all my eggs in one basket. I don't publish with one house. I'm published with about a dozen different houses, because each house has a built-in audience. And if you publish with one, say I publish with, say, Lucid, someone who reads primarily Lucid will read my book, may like what they read, and search my backlist and find my books at another publisher.
But that's a crapshoot in itself, though.
It is.
It's always a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot you have to take, because why not?
You have to research the publisher you're going with.
Look at Bianca Dark. Mm-hmm. She is huge with Samhain.
Sour.
For the lay people, like the people who own it, they call it Samhain. Henceforth, it's Samhain. But Bianca has books with other publishers, and those publishers, like her readers, right. don't follow her there.
Right.
So, you know, and the reason is because Samhain's readers are incelular to Samhain. They're not reading the author, they're reading the publisher. And that's the other thing that you find in small press versus New York. New York readers, like people who read the big six stuff and print, they don't buy a book because of where it's published. They buy it for the author. Whereas small press, 9 times out of 10, they're going to buy where it's published before the author, because of the fact that they like what the publishing house is turning out. We had the same problem with FaZe when I was with FaZe.
Yeah.
And I have a book with Alora's Cave coming out, and it does not matter that I haven't said a word on the EC loops, because the day that comes out, it'll get sales. Why? Because EC has their own built-in audience. So
let's take some time real quick. Who's got questions? You.
So you keep going on and on about marketing. I've got about 30 different titles. I've never done a lick of marketing. And I do
Are you living off them?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm about halfway there.
Okay.
That's cool.
But
if you marketed, you'd be all the way, though.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know that that's true in every genre.
What genre are you writing?
I mostly paranormal stuff, but yeah, I have a few different like dragon sex, and my big money maker is Fuda though, gender bender stuff. That's for some reason that apparently sells for me. But
you're writing to a specific kink though, yeah. And that kink is going to find you. You know what I mean? Like you're. That's very much a, what's the word, targeted word of
niche.
Mouth.
Niche.
Yeah, niche, word of mouth kind of thing. If you're writing a straight genre, like a genre in general, like a erotic romance or paranormal romance or something, you need to make yourself unique in the pack in order to get those people to come and find you.
In the skull shirt.
You. Excellent, thank you.
I actually have two questions.
Yeah. Ooh, twofer.
Fancy, if the panel doesn't mind. The first question regarding you, you mentioned octopus shifters. How do you deal with the science behind octopi and the fact that most male octopi actually go off and die after sex?
Yes.
You're welcome.
I can answer this very, very easily.
Yes, please.
No. They are. They are. Hell no!
Apparently she's not allowed to answer the question.
I'm just laughing too much. This is great. They are descendants of Dagon.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Dagon.
All right. With that in mind, that question answered. My second question is actually regarding social media marketing. You guys mentioned Twitter, and you guys mentioned Facebook and having Facebook pages and having regarding Google Plus and Tumblr.
Tumblr and try.
No.
Somebody's on Tumblr.
Yeah, no, you know what? Tumblr's only good for two things.
I have
porno pictures and people yelling about their cats. That's pretty much it.
No, there's actually a large BDSM community on Tumblr.
Well, that's
and a
different.
There's large fetish communities on Tumblr. And regarding that, do you actually target your marketing toward Tumblr audiences?
I do know a few people who do that write flat, like they write straight up BDSM. What's her name? Calypso Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And
really?
She has, yeah, Calypso okay. has a Tumblr that is run by her street team. And basically what they do is they put different pictures up each day and they put snippets of her books. With links, that's it. That's all they do, and she's been getting a lot of hits off of her Tumblr that way.
I don't do really Tumblr or Instagram or any Triber. I basically do Facebook and Twitter because it's easy, it's quick for me, and it doesn't take a lot
and
out of my writing time.
And that's where most people are.
Triber will get you some interesting hits because of the fact that Triber is mass market RSS feed pushing. So you link your blog, website, whatever, to Triber, and you've got, say, I have in my tribe, in our group, whatever, these three authors. I put a blog post up. They push it. She has, let's say 4,000 followers. She has 10K. She has 10K. They retweet me. Maybe they have their Twitter hooked up to Facebook.
You should have your Twitter and your Facebook
linked. And that's how
that
works out, because Triber then says, okay, here it is. They push it out. They repost. It goes to Twitter, their 10,000 followers, whatever, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. The reach becomes huge. Now, it's a numbers game, keep that in mind, but if you've got 10,000 people seriously available to your post, you're going to have, I'm not sure what the percentage is, but you've got a percentage of folks that are going to look, again, a smaller percentage that buys, but the more folks you have, theoretically, the more folks will buy. Exactly.
Who's next?
Over here.
Actually, Sasha, one second. I'm not even sure if we answered this gentleman's question. I think we kind of ignored his question altogether.
You gatefish. How about that?
Exactly what they say. Yeah. They post to Twitter, their Facebook, their LinkedIn. Right. If they're there, they everything in general.
Yeah, for the street team I'm in, I actually share a street team with three other authors. I'm in with B.A. Tortuga, mm-hmm. Julia Talbot, and Shawn Michael.
Yeah.
And what What?
No, no. She's just giving her.
I can't see.
Okay. Anyway, I share with the three other authors, and we have a Yahoo group that's private just for the street team, and they get advance excerpts, they get, we talk about our works in progress, they get books, they get swag, they get advanced reading copies. There's a lot of benefits for them, and in return, they chat us up all over. They retweet my tweets, they talk about my books, they will go in and they'll write a an honest, and I hope it's honest, review of my book. They will they'll get the advanced reading copies, and then they'll start chatting up my new books before they're even, you know, released. So they generate a buzz. That's pretty much what they do. Mm-hmm. And by generating the buzz can translate into dollars when the book does come out and people start buying it.
It's a slow process sometimes.
Well, it depends. I mean, I have a physical street team, which I actually send out promo and goodies to. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean like, you know, bookmarks. I mean crazy shit. I send out these things here, which are jar openers. They put them places. If they're going on vacation, I send them copies of my books. And they're signed and they have little notes in them. And they put them places. For me, I have three girls who go on cruises every year. There are at least 25 of my books on 15 Royal Caribbean cruise ships because of the fact that I have crazy people who will do this for me. They go to other conventions. They put out my promo, my stickers, my magnets, my pins. They go to the bookstores and they give out little cards that I have that say, hey, if you like blah, 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 you'll like blah, blah, blah. And they put them in books for me. That is crazy guerrilla marketing, but it works. It works.
Can your street team train mine?
Maybe.
I'm just starting them up back there.
We don't need training. We just need to know when.
Over here?
Yeah.
Hi, thanks. If you're just getting started and you can go either way, do you recommend starting out with short stories, novellas, or like
go
a
with what
novel?
You're comfortable with?
Yeah,
go with what you're comfortable with. Don't push yourself to write a novel if you don't feel that the story needs a novel.
But please, by the same token, please don't write a crappy short story just because it's
short. I'll say novels because the fact of the matter is the audience wants to stay in your world as long as they possibly can before they like it. However, don't discard their advice because clearly they've done their shit and done it well.
Thank you. Well, with my short stories, I got numerous emails like, we need more. So, I mean, it was good because they wanted more, but then they were like, yeah, your next one's going to have to be longer.
You seem creepy.
So you just kind of have to, you know, do what you can do. Because they weren't meant to be novels.
Go.
Yep.
All right. Y'all have been talking mostly about paranormal, magic, gods, devils, angels. Have y'all ever done any science fiction, or do you think that would be too much of a different market?
She does that shit.
Well, I don't know if that counts. That is butt pirates in space.
You want to read that? Trust me.
I've done sci-fi. I know Karen has because she's from me.
Yeah,
too.
I do have some sci-fi.
I know Stella. Yeah, we've all done
it. My new book actually it could be considered because it's crossover. So I consider it post-apocalyptic paranormal romance. But three of my betas that read it told me it's sci-fi because of the. Well, no, the subject matter.
I don't see anybody.
Very very Lovecraftian right and everything. Back. So it goes on that end.
Third row from the back.
Yeah.
Third row from the back, Sasha.
Especially if remember one thing, crossover sells in multiple markets. So try and make everything as crossover as possible.
Mm-hmm. Hi there, ladies. Good evening.
Ahoy.
Hello. I like your ears.
I like your ears.
I thought they were horns.
Are they ears or horns?
Ears. They're ears.
I like better. Your ears.
They're cat ears. I really want to learn about erotica, any form of erotica writing. Yes, maybe.
He's our okay. He's our people. It's okay.
What is your recommendation for someone who's really starting from bottom?
Read.
I don't mean
read.
Like
read.
I don't
read.
Mean
read.
Like
to just be a bottom.
Read.
I mean it from zero.
Read.
Read.
Read as much as you can.
Wait. Little Erotica.
Who's he pointing at?
AdultFanFiction.net. Little Erotica has a huge following. The problem with Little Erotica that I've noticed, not so much that they're new.
They're creepers in real life?
That, I'm getting to that. So
yes,
the top 30 quote-unquote highest sellers in Little Erotica.com as far as quote-unquote hits, it's all incest.
Yeah.
And you know, this is the South, but it ain't like that, really.
This is what I can tell you. If you want to, and I know everybody's got budget issues, if you want to start reading, if you're not sure what genre you want to write in, I know you want to write erotica, but you're not sure what, go to different publishers. Almost all of them have free reads.
Yeah, Laura's on Amazon.
Cave does it.
Every week, Laura's Cave has different ones.
All Romance week. eBooks does
yeah.
it. Where you could just download fact, a free yeah, ebook, fact, and they're all professionally edited, and they all have cover
yeah,
art.
Some of
and
us, like, I know I have a few freebies on Amazon.
Yeah, that's what I just put up so before I got here.
I have one on ARE. It's got, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of
I would tell you.
Check things, because people have read it. It's Caffeine for Marine. It's yeah, so like they meet at Starbucks and have sex. That's Woo! Pretty much all it is.
I mentioned that my mentor has been able to produce a book where 5 years ago she put it out. Now, what I didn't say was, when that book came out 5 years ago, she crashed the servers at Mojo Castle Press when it dropped. Now, what she did with that to market that and earlier works was she wrote what she wanted to write based on a bunch of research as to what sells and what she can do and what she likes doing. So it's still fun for her, but it pays the bills. She told me, 6 years ago, write 5 different stories. Shove those fuckers on every single story site you can get your hands on. There is an audience for you. You don't know what it is. You will find out, because you might write a menage piece, toss it to Little Erotica. It might not do so well. You might write a contemporary heterosexual or gay piece, throw it up on Lusty Librarian. It might be huge hit-wise. All of a sudden, you know what your folks like. They want your gay shit. Let them have more of it. That's what sells. Now, the trick is going to be, can you find a way to write the gay stuff and be happy, or integrate something about that aspect and isolate? Is it the gay thing? Is it the theme? Is it this or that? Yeah. Exactly. Can you figure out what they want? And this comes back to knowing your audience, knowing your themes of your stories, knowing the themes of your books, and going from there.
I can tell you one more piece of advice also, if you're on that vein. Join a crit group.
Yes.
Do not let your parents read it. Do not let your sister read it. Do not let your best friend read it, because they're going to love it because it's yours.
Let people who
not
hate you read it.
Not necessarily. Because, right. Let somebody who doesn't know you read it.
If they don't make you cry at least once, they're probably not the right people.
You need to know thick skin. Honestly, biggest yes. thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's an asshole editor, me, who says, why are you doing this? Not because I hate your work, but because I want to know that the money spent paying me is going to pay you and pay me back and pay my publisher back, because in the end, it's a business.
And the other thing about with being the, you know, dealing with that situation is this. Once you do publish, have a thick skin in your reviews. Read your reviews. All of them.
Yeah.
I am a huge proponent of that, because you know what? The asshole that gives you a one and trashes it, you will find out that you do not write for that kind of person. And 9 times out of 10, when they do trash it, the review is so illegible that nobody takes it seriously. So don't get pissy with, you know, 15 two-star reviews. Because you know what? You just don't write for those people. Because you know what? For every 15 two-star reviews, there's 100 five-stars.
And the
so
one
remember
thing
that.
About it,
read
and
your
the,
reviews. And if the, it's If it's a good review, say thank you to the reviewer for taking the time to read and review your book.
And if it's a bad review, say thank you, too.
Unless it's one of the reviews, I'm sorry, if it's one of the reviews that's obviously out just to cause drama, I do not respond to those.
Yeah, we had that with Emma Paul. Yeah,
if it's a thoughtful review and the reviewer really meant what they're saying, and they're saying, I just don't really, you know, I don't like this kind of writing, or I don't, whatever. If it's a heartfelt review, I will answer it and say thank you, and please give me another chance, to read something else, maybe you'll like it better. And I thank all the good reviews, obviously, but the really bad reviews that you know are just out there to cause drama, I just kind of ignore those.
One of the biggest things that I've learned over the last 15 years doing this, my publisher, or my primary publisher at Sales Over Editions, will take a review that is less than stellar, meaning it's good but not great, and she'll pull together the high points from the review and cobble that onto a blurb for the back of the book cover. And all of a sudden, it's legitimate. It's good, because they did say these things. They said, I'm XYZ. This story is XYZ. Everything else, fuck it. You, and then over here was the last one. You, last one. So, you.
I have a question from the perspective of the reader. So say someone is just getting started reading erotica. How can you know if an author is good or not if you're not...
If it's making you hot, then they're good.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty much the answer.
Yeah, pretty much it.
If it does it for you, they're right in
the
money.
If you're yawning while you're reading it, put it down. Find something else.
Where do you find like a list of authors in like genre?
Well, there's four of us here.
Yeah, there's four of us here, but I suggest if you're going to start looking... Go with one of the older known for smutties, which is Sizzler Editions, or
EC.
Laura's Cave. Laura's Cave has tons of freebie books. Tons.
Lucid.
Naughty Nooners.
Dream Spinner.
Dream Spinner. Dream Spinner. Torqueray is good.
Yeah. It just depends on what you're looking to read.
Yeah. ERWA, the Erotic Readers and Writers Association, is a good place to start.
Last one.
Hi, I want to say that I'm enjoying this very much. my question is, what is your version, or how do you feel about ebooks versus self-publishing when you're just starting? Like, you want to put something out there, what would you start with? Would you start with ebooks, or would you start with just self-publishing?
Well, you should start always, you always need to do multiple formats. I suggest putting out your ebook and putting it into print at the same time. You can do that now because that's how CreateSpace and Amazon works.
Right.
I would say
I do it for every single book that's on here. It's ebook and CreateSpace, both at the same time.
I would say differently as far as that's concerned. I'm probably the lone deranger here.
You are because you're looking at it in a different perspective.
Right. This is a business for me. I'm going to live. I know. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm going to live off my royalties. So for me to spend money on an editor takes away from my return on investment of time. That being said, I have the ability to gauge my audience and go, I've got 14 years. I'm good to go. Not everyone has that. I would build your audience first, then go from there.
Yeah, Not only that, but I think with someone who's just starting out, going with a traditional house or an established house.
You should learn the business.
You'll learn the business that way. You'll have professional editing done. You'll have professional cover art done. All things that you may not be familiar with when you're just starting out.
Yeah, I definitely went small press just because you see people say, yeah, I got this book. It's self-published. The editing was horrible. The book, you know, everything's horrible. And I didn't want to be that person. So I wanted to have the professionals help me, and I may do self-publishing in the future, I don't know, but I needed to learn the business.
Shit, I sold out and did it, so.
So be it.
Final thoughts. Karen, 30 seconds.
Right, every freaking day. It's not like a 9-to-5 job where you work Monday through Friday and you get the weekends off. You need to practice your craft. You're going to lose it, so write every day.
So
right, right. Read what's in your genre, because you need to know what is out there and what is selling.
Cassidy,
that's what I was going to say. You have to write and you have to read. I mean, if you're not reading it, then how do you know what you're supposed to be writing for?
Last thoughts for me, understand the business model. Now, I got to wrap this up, so a couple of things. First of all, thank you all for coming here. Round of applause.
Now,
we have goodies up here for you guys too when you get out.
This is Dragon Con, so I want a round of applause that's Dragon Con worthy for my panelists. I mean, rock this shit. Rock it! Bigger! Bigger!
People are going to get hurt. I
kind of can't hear a couple of you. Lastly.
And for our moderator,
Scott.
Sasha.
Okay.
Yay. I'll second.
That myself. Lastly, the wonderful folks at the Electronic Frontiers Forums have been gracious enough to host us for a number of panels. Please give Scott and his crew a huge DragonCon welcome and thank you! Louder! Louder, deafen them!
You need another drink.
I have to dash because I have to get over to the Hyatt to sit on another panel. It's actually the GLBT in science fiction and fantasy.
Go. Cool.
So I got to run, but I'm leaving stuff up here for you guys. There's some gift cards
there's goodies up here if you want to come grab
fun
them.
Little paddles and pens.
Thank you.